Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning.
And we are very fortunate to have with us Eric Alexander, who is the director of Vision Long Island and really is so involved in recreating the face of Long Island in those areas where they're looking for a facelift. Right. Okay. And we said that in the last segment. Eric and his organization are not going in to fight with a mayor, to fight with a supervisor. He's there to answer their call for help and to work side by side. And Otto at the break had a wonderful question, so I'm just going to actually turn it over to Otto to talk with Eric.
Well, I would say all of us would agree. I mean, we live on Long Island, that Long Island is not an inexpensive place to live. As a result of that, there are young people, I have them in my own family, who have left Long Island because of things like that. And the current situation with COVID is not going to help that at all, I don't think. Because why? Because local governments are going to need money. They're spending money now that they probably don't have in order to get through this whole thing. And I believe a lot of budgeting is going to be tough in the future. And I'm just curious as to what the thoughts are as to, other than time, I don't have a solution. Which I normally like to do if I'm going to say something negative, but the facts are that this is a tough one. And how will we, as a vision of Long Island, get through this whole spell where money is going to be an issue? And how does it, what's your thoughts on how we get through this?
So look, I've gotten in a lot of trouble sometimes by not emphasizing the health aspect of this coronavirus crisis as much as the economic impact. And some people are like, well, you're being insensitive. I'm like, well, no one's paying attention to the economic side of this. And it's devastating. It's not just devastating for small businesses. It's devastating for working or not working people across the board right now. Some people have trivialized this and said, well, we'll go to 4-day work weeks. It's better for the environment or whatever. I'm like, no, do you realize people are going to be doing 7-day work weeks to get out from under the mess that has happened here in their personal economics or their business or what have you? There's a lot of people that didn't get unemployment. There's a lot of people that, you know, they're just waiting to get it. They'll get it. But, you know, the process has been brutal. The food lines on Long Island have gone from 3 times the need to 7-8, as much as 10 times the need. Then in the past, we've done 25 food drops, just kind of with our partners at the Pink Time Network. And so we see it, we hear it, we feel it, and we're working class people. Our staff is ourselves, you know. So the reality, and I'm blessed to have a job, I am, and some many don't. So I'll start with that. Having said all that, our local economics are going to be buoyed by the exodus of people from New York City. We're hearing about a 10% increase in demand from city people that are coming in and backfilling homes, apartments, and eventually vacant stores. I hate to say that. I don't want to see Long Islanders lose their opportunity and then city folks come in, you know, but you know, it's happening. That is very real. That will put money in the coffers for local government and keep services going. Will it solve our structural affordability problem on Long Island? No. And that's where we still need production of affordable housing. We still need subsidy programs from the state in order to create affordable housing. We need a creative use of zoning codes to allow smaller apartments within single family homes so people can live. Seniors, we've had this conversation on the show, you know, about having, you know, senior apartments, you know, in a lot of these, senior accessory apartments, you know, so you have some housing stock for folks of all ages, backgrounds, you know, incomes. So we have to do that. And of course, in a non-discriminatory way, because we have a problem with that on Long Island. So, there's a lot of work to be done. The equity problem, not just from a racial perspective, but from an economic perspective, is going to be on the forefront and all this with, you know, revenue that hasn't kicked up again because we're not open. So we got to open to get the machinery going, and those city people will come here and we'll kind of get back to some kind of norm. But we got to do it.
You made a good point in reference to Long Islanders, say, moving off or closing their stores or whatever, and people from Manhattan who historically, and I might be wrong, have more money. And those businesses are more, have better reserves, et cetera. So to come out and expand some sort of a restaurant or a jewelry store or a clothing store, and a year and a half or 2 years from now, when everything is back to basically normal, there's a vaccine, et cetera, the Long Islander is gone. The house that was a million is now 1.4. And our housing situation hasn't improved for those less fortunate. That is, you know, the biggest thing. I mean, I see it all over the place. Even when some of these beautiful apartments go up like in Garden City, and there is affordable housing in them. Affordable housing is not affordable. It might be from a ratio perspective,
right, for
what is expensive in those buildings, and therefore it's only a third of the price. But if you're paying $9,000 for a three bedroom and you're paying $3,000 for a one, that's, you know, $3,000 for a teacher.
Well, that's a bit of an outlier. Most of the affordable units go from, you know, 1200 to 2200, you know, is the range, and 2200 is high. The Garden City was a very unique market.
And also, okay,
it wasn't subsidized. That's the other issue.
You know, it wasn't.
Just done. No, it wasn't. So usually when you see a high price point, it's not subsidized. If it's higher than 1400, 1500, it wasn't subsidized at all.
I didn't know that. That's why I was curious about the Garden
City. Yeah, it's basically they're using the workforce housing guidelines to meet the quote affordable criteria in the law, but because they're not using public funds, they can set the price higher. So that's how they make up for it. You know, part of this has to do with
the cost of building, right?
You know, say it again,
Eric. That's IDA then. If they're going for IDA.
Well, the IDA is a little different. The IDA is more tied to the jobs and less tied to affordable housing. There's
okay.
no statutory requirement related to affordable housing. They have to meet jobs and economic development standards. And they meet them because not just on the construction side and the management side, but also the multiplier effect of the people living there then fuels the local small businesses in a community.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
why we usually support IDA. I know that's something that's controversial in some sectors.
How does it work? Like one of the areas that really surprised me was over on in New Hyde Park, the north near New Hyde Park Road and the LIE, Ritz-Carlton, I'm not picking on the company, but built this area with apartments from $1 million to $3 million. And I often wondered, how did that come about? I mean, it's probably one of the last big pieces of property in Nassau County that could have been developed with more people in mind, if you will. How does that come about?
That's the Village of North Hills, right?
Pardon me?
Yes.
The Village of North Hills?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of that is the people in that village didn't have a broader perspective beyond their village borders and the planning of it. You know, I think RXR did work with the village, they were the developer on the project. Again, there's some types of development projects that are outliers to us. They're not normative, you know. I mean, I look at Sayville, they want to put 1,800 units on a golf course, and it's, you know, I don't know, 3,000 a month apartments or whatever it is, and they say it's all good for us. There may be people who need to live there or want to live there, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's addressing the needs of our workforce or affordable housing needs or what have you. You know, I prefer to talk about and focus on the deals that are, you know, the projects that are doing that. You know, we've seen more of them, you know, in the last 7 years, there have been 100 projects that have been approved. 90 of them had more public support than opposition. And I think all told, you know, of the 15,000 units of transit-oriented development we've gotten approved, you know, close to 3,000 of them are affordable. So you know, it's not as many as we need, but it's more than would have happened if we didn't work on this. You know, a lot of it has to do with subsidy. I was talking before about the cost of construction, you know, between material cost, labor cost, site cost, and the project cost of moving through the approval process. If you just do the numbers, it's tough to tie out. You know, the banks demand certain returns, you know, unless there are builders that have their own, purely their own capital. You know, they're boxed in by their financing.
It's a business.
You can't get the price points lower. I've looked at more pro formas and spreadsheets trying to, can you shave here? Can you shave there? And then the answer is get some subsidy, you know, and we just don't have enough on the subsidy side, you know.
And that's the only place where the benefit's going to come from is subsidy.
The federal
has to get theirs, and raw materials are getting, I mean, you're not going to turn around and buy lumber at half the price now. It's impossible. And you're not going to have the guys come and work a union worker for half the price. I mean, they could donate a little something, but you're not going for half. So it has to be subsidies. There's no other option in my mind at this point.
There are five developers on Long Island that work with these subsidies.
Okay.
And they're as close to not-for-profit developers as you can find. I have not met a true not-for-profit developer. You know, no matter what, folks want returns, but they are certainly much more amenable to building these types of projects. And you know, Dave Gallo has done one in North Hempstead is one example. And there are others, you know, across Long Island, you know, certainly Conifer, DNF Development. So, you know, there's definitely folks out there that are doing this Concern for Independent Living.
It's got, you know, looking down the road, unfortunately, large companies like JCPenney, whatever, there's going to be, as far as visions of Long Island go, there's going to be some empty spaces over there. And I understand it's business. People are in business to make money. That's why they're in business. But I often wonder what, you know, like that whole area where Fortunoff's was has really been kind of idle for a long time. And I unfortunately see more places that are going to be idle as a result of what's going on right now. And there's no magic potion, if you will, that says, oh, you must now do this with this, and we're going to knock that whole thing down and build a new community for people. Would you get involved with things like that? I mean, it's not a downtown, but it's a mall, if you will, that may be not functioning anymore.
Well, you know, it's interesting you raise that, because, you know, in North Hempstead, you got the Brookfield proposed development in Manhasset, the old current functioning Macy's.
Macy's.
And I think that our organization is getting involved with some of these things, but only where the community wants us involved. And I think it's, you know, there's a bit of a debate whether you should have new town centers or just support existing town centers. So, you know, not everyone's of one mind on that one.
Well, I lived in Manhasset.
Let's keep it going. We're going to have to take a break first. You're listening to CU Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.